Boker Tov, Manishma. Good morning, and how are you? It is an honor to be entrusted with the responsibility to stand here this morning. The Word of God tells us in the book of Haggai, a little soundbite that really grabbed my heart as I was reading one day. It says in the NIV version that the Word of God came through Haggai. That's a beautiful statement. That the Word of God came through this man of God. And I believe that this is the desire for each and every one of us, that we would be His chosen vessel to be entrusted with His precious Word, the Holy Word of God. I have had the privilege to have developed a history with Mount Zion. I was telling Pastor James that I believe I first came here in 1995. I spent a couple of days here with my wife. I was here back in the days when Joe was still single. But in that history, what I've discovered is when you develop a history with a ministry, with an individual, that you have a future together. Our roots from the past will give us a strength for the days into the future. And I praise God, having been sent from Times Square Church in 1992 to go to the land of Israel, that I can come back and be a part of the continuation of a fruit that remaineth here at Mount Zion. I have been asked by Sister Catherine to share not only once, but twice. And she's asked me to share some of the prophetic events that are happening in the land of Israel. And as I began to pray and to seek the Lord, Lord, what is it that you would have me to share about the end times and the events that are coming? A deep conviction came upon me. If we lack an intimacy and a strong fellowship, a koinonia with the Lord Yeshua, forget about the end times, because we will not be prepared. We will not be ready for the storms that are coming upon the nations of the world. So in the leading of the Holy Spirit, Sister Catherine, I have prepared a message this morning in preparation for the prophetic word for tomorrow. And it is a message upon or about our intimacy with the Lord Jesus. I'd like to open up together in a word of prayer and ask that the Lord would prepare our hearts as He has been throughout the worship, that I would be able to proclaim this message and that you would receive it in your hearts. Hallelujah, Lord God. Avinu Avu Shemaim. Anaknu rotzim levo le bait shelcha. Anaknu tzrikim levakesh leshpoach haruach kodesh beboka. Ze lev shelanu patuach ki anaknu tzrikim lekabel me'aba shelanu. Yeshua, anaknu po beboka. Ki anaknu rotzim lishmoa ma she'ata rotze ledeber. Elohim, anaknu mevakeshim koach v'chokma. Ten lanu zet simcha belev b'melim shelcha. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. If there's one word that the end times can be summed up in, it is a time of storms, a time of trial, a time of adversity. And I praise God when I graduated from a place called Zion and I prayed, Lord, send me to Israel. God spoke a word and it went like this. Israel via New York. But Lord, I've prepared. I came to this Bible school to prepare for ministry, to fulfill the call of God on my life, to go to the land of Israel. And you're telling me to go to New York. And God said, Israel via New York. So in one way, I realized, JFK, I'll fly out of New York to Israel. But what I didn't realize, that I would have a 2.5-year layover before my plane finally took off. And what God had prepared for me in New York were a few trials, some adversity, because he knew that I wasn't ready. So the word of God tells us in the book of James, my brethren, count it all joy when various trials come upon you, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. We need to rejoice. I understand today you are all doing midterm exams, or there's a time of testing, even this very day. And how many went into that test with rejoicing? 50%, Sister Catherine. And I hope 100% came out rejoicing. But God had a purpose in those trials to bring joy and preparation into your hearts. Well, there was a day when the Lord took his disciples to the classroom. And that classroom was at a place called the Sea of Galilee. He took them there to teach them and to train them into area of where they were lacking, because their faith was lacking. Now the Sea of Galilee, and I hope one day you'll have an opportunity to come out to Israel and experience this beautiful piece of land and go out on the sea like the early disciples. The word in Hebrew, we call it in Israel, the Kinneret. And it comes from the word Kinor. And some of you might not know what a kinor is, but you've heard it. It's a harp. David used to play a kinor when he was shepherding the flock on the mountains of Judea. And what I've discovered is that on the Sea of Galilee, or on the Kinneret, God wants to make music. God wants to make music on the Sea of Galilee. And you know how he does it? By sending the winds. By sending the winds upon the Sea of Galilee. And he mixes that wind with his voice. Because the word of God tells us that the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. So when we have the voice of God mixed with that beautiful music from the kinnor, it can be a great time of worship. A great time of coming into the presence of the living God. But on this day, the disciples weren't ready for the test that was about to come upon them. For it says, on that same day when evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitudes, they took him along in the boat, and other boats were with them also, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat against the boat, so it was already filling with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and they said, teacher, do you know that we are perishing? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and told it to be still. And the disciples were in great fear and trembling. And Jesus said, how is it that you have such little faith? In that moment, when the music was playing and the winds were blowing, the disciples were filled with fear. And what was Jesus doing? Jesus was sleeping on a pillow. And here were the disciples filled with fear and trembling. When what should have been a time of worship and praise, here were the disciples filled with fear, and Yeshua was sleeping on a pillow. Well, it's interesting to note that in the Hebrew language, the word wind is the word ruach. And that word means spirit. It wasn't just the wind that was blowing. There was a mighty rushing wind that filled the upper room and filled the disciples. And on that day, that same mighty rushing wind came and wanted to touch the disciples, to take them to a place, a new level of faith and preparation in their hearts. Yes, the wind blows where it wishes and we hear the sound of it. We don't know where it comes and we certainly don't know where it goes. But everyone who is born of the Spirit, this is the characteristic that God wants to produce in us. Because the character of a son of God are those who are led by the Spirit of the living God. And so when a storm comes into your life, when a mighty rushing wind comes upon you, can we have the presence of mind to acknowledge and to recognize that God wants to take me to another place? God wants to move me into an area of faith because He wants to change and transform my life. Oh, we need to be on that worship team. We need to be part of that music and that singing on the Kinneret there in Israel. God wants to change us. And so what He does is He brings into our lives a perfect storm. He has a perfect storm designed for each and every one of us. A perfect storm that is specifically designed to transform and change your lives. Years ago, there was a very tragic event that took place. I believe it was in the year 91 or 92. It was a real life story, but Hollywood made a movie out of it. And the movie was called The Perfect Storm. And it was kind of a time when a storm was coming across the continental United States. A storm was coming from the upper northern plains of Canada. And in actuality, from the south, a hurricane was coming up from Florida. And off the coast of Massachusetts, that storm converged together to create what was known or is known today in history. And these type of storms happen every 100 years or so. Became known as the perfect storm. Weathermen in New England, in their little warm, cozy studios, were just rejoicing in the excitement of this phenomena that was taking place. But fishermen off the coast of the Cape Cod were in fear and trembling. For one group, it was a time of great rejoicing, a time of such wonderful excitement. But for the fishermen, it cost them their lives. And when I think of the perfect storm in our lives that each of us can experience, for some, it's a time of rejoicing. And for others, it's a time for their faith to be shipwrecked. It is a time of death and destruction. God wants to take storms and bring them to our lives to make us more in the image of His Son. In the land of Israel, I not only work at a rehab center, but I live there. When I came to Israel 16 years ago, and now I'm working on my 17th year, my address has not changed once. The place I moved into on my first day of Israel is the same place I left when I came here, when I left the land of Israel. And in the 16 years that I have been on a place called Rehov HaGeffen, it's HaGeffen Street. It's a good place to live because you know what this word means? It means the vine. If you dwell and you live and abide on the vine, you are going to bear fruit. And in the years that I have lived there, not only have I abided on the vine, but there have been many storms that have come onto that ministry center. There have been times when the front gate of our property has opened and I've looked off my balcony and I've looked down at a stranger who looks half dead walking up the driveway, and I'm saying to myself, that's a category 5. But you know what? God, through the precious Holy Spirit, wants us to learn how to rebuke the winds and the waves so that the storm in our lives will become quiet and there will be peace. But these storms come to teach us many wonderful lessons. You know, we've had groups come to Israel and we've gone with Times Square Church and people from the nations, and we've actually gone out on the boats and we've been on the water with them. And you know what everybody wants? Everybody wants to go out there and they want to learn to walk on water. This is what they want. They want to walk on water. But on that day, Yeshua was teaching them a different type of ministry. You have to make a choice. What type of ministry do you want? You want a ministry that walks on water, signs, wonders, miracles? Or do you want a ministry like Yeshua had on that day? Where was he found? He was found sleeping on the pillow. So I ask you today, how many of you want a pillow ministry? Raise your hand if you want to sign up for a pillow ministry. Now, I don't mean, you know, going to bed or sleeping in late tomorrow morning when Joe's doing his tests. But there is something significant about this pillow ministry. When the storm was on the horizon, Yeshua was in a place of rest. Where are you? Where are you when the storm comes into your life? Are you panicking, or have you learned to fulfill those words of Yeshua when he says, come unto me and you shall find rest? Turn with me to Psalm 25:14, because we need the word of God to teach us, to explain to us, is there really such a thing as a pillow ministry found in the word of God? I don't want to be teaching some strange doctrine, some new teaching. I want to teach that old-fashioned religion, what Yeshua has called us to enter into. The word of God tells us this in Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Now you may ask yourself, well, where is the pillow ministry found here? Well, the pillow ministry is found in this word, the secret of the Lord. God wants to reveal to you secrets. He wants to speak to you. And somehow on that day on the Galilee, Jesus gave a little hint to the disciples, let's go over to the other side. And somehow the word fell to the ground. It didn't take hold in their heart. They forgot the very word that Yeshua said. But here, God wants to speak secrets into our lives. And for you Bereans out there, and I trust that there are many who are studying the word faithfully, if you take simply a concordance and you look up in the Hebrew number 5475, you will find the Hebrew word sod, samach vav dalet. And this word means a pillow, but it also means this. It means counsel. It means friendship. It means secret conversation, private discussion. This is what the word means. And how does this word develop? How was it developed throughout history? Back in the Ancient of Days, when kings would go to war, or the city fathers would meet for counsel in times of difficulty and hardships, they were sitting on the floor with pillows. And they were couching up on pillows in intimate conversation with one another. And they would whisper in one another's ears, and they would talk secret things, secret strategy. They would reveal intimate secrets one to another. And there are things that God wants to speak into your life that will help you come to a place of growing in a newfound strength in the Lord. Well, the first man who had a pillow ministry, you may know him. His name was Yaakov. We know him here in America as Jacob. And one night in Bethel, he took that rock and he put his head in the Hebrew, in the English translation. It says he slept, he made a pillow out of a rock. And what did God do? God opened the heavens and began to reveal things to him. He saw those angels going up and down the ladder, and God wanted to commune with his life. But when Jacob woke up the next morning, he was in such a rush to hurry off. He made a deal with God. If you do this and if you do that, you will become my God. And he lost an opportunity to have intimacy with Yeshua, the Spirit of the living God. And there are times when we rush off in the busyness of our day and we fail to cuddle up and spend time with Jesus and allow him to open the heavens and to speak into our lives. And a time is coming when storms on the horizon will come from the east and from the west. And if we are not entering in to this intimacy, if we are not receiving the secret of God, we will not be prepared for the storms that come. God is inviting us to have fellowship, to have an intimacy. And it's in these times of experiencing a pillow ministry that God will speak into our lives. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. In fact, fear is the beginning of wisdom. And we need wisdom from on high. We have too many people who in their own clever thinking and their own intellectual insight are trying to figure things out. When in the reality is, God has the word for us if we would just take a moment to listen. See, there are things that God wanted to change in Jacob's life. There were character issues that God wanted to develop. See, the storms that come, and if we cleave to him and we take hold of him, the purpose of these trials, as we read in the book of James, is to produce something in us that we would be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. And you know what? I need to hear a few secrets from God, because there are areas of lack in my life. There are things that we all lack. But if we're having a pillow ministry and we're allowing God to share secrets, he's going to get intimate with us. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to share secrets about your personal life. He's going to get really personal with you. And he's going to begin to point out those areas where you are lacking. That one day when the rich young ruler came, and Jesus wanted to point out, there's one thing you lack. That rich young ruler did not want to hear what he was lacking. When Yeshua revealed it, he got a little bit angry and walked away sad. But if we can have a little storm, if we can allow a little time of confrontation, God, what is it? What am I lacking? That's a scary moment. That could be a little bit of a storm. And one time in my early years at the House of Victory, it was in 1993, in November 92, God spoke to me in the early morning hours about 1, 2 o'clock. See, I had a love for Israel and the Jewish people, but there was something I lacked. I did not have a love in my heart for the Arab people. And that one night as I was ministering to a man who was going through a heavy withdrawal from heroin, and this is a painful experience for a man or woman who goes through a withdrawal from heroin. And that night as I was trying to comfort this man, God spoke to me. He confronted me. He revealed a lack in my life and he asked me a question. Do you love these people? And I got a little bit nervous. I felt the winds blowing and a storm approaching. And I said, asked again, do you love these people? I said, God, I just really haven't had an encounter with them. I don't really know them. But teach me. Teach me to love them. God wants us to have a love for the land of Israel. Because God has a special plan for Israel. Not that the people of Israel are more special than anyone else, but that he is going to use Israel to fulfill his holy purposes. But if we are going to pray and intercede for Israel, we cannot have a partiality. There needs to be the same heart of the Father, a love for both people groups. Because Father Abraham, he is the father of the Arab people. And it can be a little bit of a confusing story with Ishmael and later Esau, who both were rejected, but both became closer connected through marriage. If we read the scriptures and the genealogy and the lineage, they were connected together. And if we search the scriptures, we will discover that they are part of the tribe of Ishmael. They are Ishmael. And they are the Arab people. And the Arab people also have a significant place in the plan of God. But they have rejected this covenant. And they have separated themselves from the living God. And today they carry a deep wound of rejection. And the enemy, he can play on those wounds. And the spirit of Islam came and were able to take the Arab people and to take them captive and to hold them in bondage and in prison. But you know what? Just as the spirit of the living God wants to take off the veil over the Jewish people, there are captives in the Islamic world that God wants to rescue. And on that night when God confronted me with the storm and he showed me that there was a lack in my life, I said, Lord God, change me. Help me. Teach me to love them. Well, we don't have time to go into it, but quickly I'll say this. Within the next couple of months, an Arab heroin addict came into our program who was a storm, category 5. And this guy was being used of the Lord to change my life, to produce in me the fruit of the Spirit. And I confess before the living God, there were times when I wanted to lay hands on this man. And I don't mean to pray for him. But God was producing long suffering in my life. Well, there was one thing about this guy who I really appreciated. He had a sister who loved Jesus. Well, today, this guy happens to be my brother-in-law. And his sister is my wife. And I have 2 little Arab girls. And he happens to be their uncle. Because God heard my prayer. When I opened up my heart and I said, God, teach me. Teach me to love the Arab people. So today, I stand in a nation I came from the Bible school and I had the nickname Brother Israel or the Rabbi because of my love for the Jewish people. But if I did not allow God to speak secrets into my life, to reveal areas of lack, you know what would have remained in my heart? A barrier, a wall of separation. And there are ministries in the land of Israel who say, we are here to minister to this group, or we are here to minister to that group. And there is a wall, a division, and the book of Ephesians calls it a wall of partition that separates people groups. And we need to allow God to search our hearts. Because if there is a wall of separation, a wall of partition in your heart, you have an area of lack. And unless you are spending time with the Lord and allowing Him to put His finger upon that area, it will remain. And I'll tell you how dangerous it is. The will of God for each of our lives is to make us vessels. For what purpose? That from our hearts, rivers of living water will flow forth. And the same Spirit that wants to put that river there is the same Spirit who sheds His love abroad into our hearts. God wants to put within us rivers of love. And wherever that river goes, according to Ezekiel and Revelation, it brings life. It brings life for those around us. There are a valley of dry bones in Israel. Arabs and Jews are separated from the living God. The nations of the world, people groups are separated from God. And we are here for a time and a season to have an intimacy with God, to allow Him to prepare us, to take away areas of lack in our lives, so that we will be fully equipped and fully prepared to go forth. Brothers and sisters, we need a pillow ministry. Now, are there any other scriptures that will show us examples of this type of ministry? Think for a moment. You Bible scholars, may you say, yes, I have one. But the best example in the scriptures is the Apostle John. And the Apostle John, on that night, the Last Supper, Pesach, he got himself a real comfortable pillow resting on the bosom, the breast of Jesus. And what happened that night? Secrets were revealed. John, it's the one who dips his bread. He's the one. He received the secret things. But this apostle was known as the apostle of love. He had received the secret things from God. And he had the most intimate relationship of all the disciples. John was entrusted with the book of Revelation. Wasn't given to Peter, wasn't given to Thomas, but it was given to the one who found a resting place close to Jesus. We need this type of pillow ministry. The testimony of John is this. He was the only disciple that did not deny the Lord. He was the only one who stood at the cross. And there was Yeshua, Jesus, dying. And what did he do? John, take care of my mother. I entrust my mother to you. What an honor, what a privilege. God wants to entrust things into our lives. There are things that He wants to give us. Yes, He wants to give us revelation, but the natural things as well. John, take care of my mother. On Resurrection Sunday, when John and Peter ran to the grave, the scriptures tell us this, that Peter, like he walked away doubting. But it says of John, he believed. He believed. Only through the intimacy of spending time with Yeshua will your evil hearts of unbelief be healed, be changed, and be transformed. There are days coming upon this land, upon this nation, upon the nations of the world, where we need to be hearing the secrets of God. Jesus said this in the gospel in the 15th chapter. Why don't we turn to John 15:15 together. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from the Father, I have made known unto you. God wants to share his secrets. God wants us to have this type of pillow ministry. Pillow ministry, it comes when friends are gathered together, sharing intimate fellowship one with another. And Jesus, I'm not going to call you servants. You're my friends. And what I hear from the Father, I will make known unto you. God is just waiting to open up his heart. I mean, he loves to talk. He loves to speak. He loves to share. And he's looking for a few friends who he can reveal intimate things with. This was the characteristic of Father Abraham. Father Abraham is known as the friend of God. And if a characteristic of a friend is to hear and receive secret things, well, we need to look into the life of Abraham and to say, I mean, was he being told secrets? Was God sharing with him? And yes, it's pretty obvious because in the book of Genesis, what chapter is that? In the book of Genesis, in chapter 18, in verses 16 through 18, when the Lord came to visit his tent to tell about Sarah's birth and the coming of a child. Well, that was a wonderful revelation. But as the chapter goes on and the men arose from there, they looked toward Sodom and Abraham went with them and he was sending them away. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am going to do? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through him. What a beautiful expression. Shall I hide from Abraham the things that I am about to do? And the divine response was no. I will tell my friend Abraham what will happen. And this is the type of thing that God wants to do in our midst. He wants to tell us things. He wants to share with us coming events. What is it that happened to Abraham? What did the revealing of these secrets produce in his life? Well, Abraham began to intercede. Abraham began to intercede for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He cried out for them, God, have mercy. God, deliver them. If there's only this many, how about that many? God wants to produce something in us that our friendship will produce an increase of secrets and revelation and knowing the plans and these end times, so that then we will go to a level of intercession. You know, when we read in the scriptures about the destruction, according to the book of Ezekiel, that came upon the land of Israel. Why did this destruction come? Because God could not find someone to stand in the gap, to stand before Him in the gap. The world will not receive these things. Friendship with the world will eliminate and cut off that flow of divine revelation, of divine intimacy. We need to separate ourselves from the things of the world and look to Him. Poor Lot, he chose Sodom. He didn't get the revelation. But Abraham, his affections were above. And I tell you, when you stand in places in the land of Israel and you look up into the sky, it's been thousands of years, but you know what? The same stars that Abraham saw that night, they are still out there. And you know what that means? So are the same promises of God. God's promises have not changed. And if you are having times with Him, He's going to let you know and reveal them so they will become a part of your life. We need to raise up intercessors. When we talk end times without intimacy is a dangerous combination. But eschatology and the study of the end times mixed with intimacy will always produce a spirit of intercession and compassion. And we need this. We need this. And it was for this reason that I felt this needs to be the message for today. This needs to be the message for the moment. Because I can't stand here talking about end times and put a fear on you, put a trembling on you. But we can share about it when we are walking in this power of intimacy. Praise be to God. Abraham was a friend of God, and he was receiving the revelation of the Lord. God has given us a very special promise in Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God wants to show and reveal to us great and mighty things. And He's looking for a people who will believe in His promises. And if our affections are set on things above and we are looking up, God will speak to us. In fact, how much does God desire to fulfill this promise? Let's look at another place where this word sod is found. It's found in Amos, the third chapter. And let's turn there together as we draw to a close. God is serious about friendship because this is part of the covenant that we have with Him. And as a faithful covenant-keeping God, this is a promise found in His Word. He's just looking for people to believe it and then act upon it. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secrets to His friends, to His servants, the prophets. And here it is right here. Unless he reveals his secrets. You take out get the King James, get a concordance, Strong's exhaustive concordance, and you will find that this word in the Hebrew is the word sod, and it means pillow. It means secrets. It means counsel, intimacy. God wants to get alone with you. He wants to let you rest your head upon his bosom, and he wants to speak into your life. If you allow him to change and transform areas of your life, you know what he will do? He'll give you more. He'll give you more. And one day you'll be one of his chosen vessels to say, it's time. The set time has come. It is time for me to act. And I need to reveal this to some of my servants, to some of my friends. God will do nothing until he first reveals his secrets. God wants to show us, and there is a remnant here at Mount Zion that this nation and the nations of the world desperately need. Brothers and sisters, enter into a pillow ministry in times of storm with Yeshua. Be found on the boat resting in him, because the nations are going to go through mighty storms. In closing, I want to ask this. In the book of Job, this word is found once again. And a question is asked by one of Job's friends. And the question is this. Have you heard the secret of God? Let's bow our heads before the Lord. And I ask you right now in this moment to meditate and to think about this thought. Have you heard the secret of God? There were things that he tried to reveal to the nation. And the scriptures literally say that they stopped their ears. Their ears were shut. The Lord is saying today, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God would say. Have you heard the secrets of God? In Corinthians, I just want to read this verse to you. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God is preparing great and mighty things. He wants you to behold and to see. And he wants you to hear the things that he has prepared for those who love him. God is here in this place. And he wants to spend a little time with each of us. I'm going to ask if there are those who want to come and draw close unto the Lord. The Word of God tells us, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw near unto you. Too often we've been like Jacob, running off. It was only in the latter part of his life when one day he said, I will not let you go. I will not let you go until you bless me. Well, that day is here today. God wants to pour out his blessing. He wants to pour out revelation. I would like to request that the altar and a time at the altar is now open. If you want to come and take hold of God and allow him to speak to you, come down and kneel before the Father. Tell him, God, I want to strengthen my friendship with you, Lord God. You've honored me with this friendship. What a great privilege to say, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in the Lord Jesus. Yeah, we know the time and the season. We can see on the horizon. But you know what? There is no fear. Because we've taken hold of Him and we know Him. We know the Lord Jesus. Take a moment to tell Him how much you love Him. And don't be afraid if He points out an area of lack in your life. If anyone else wants to come forward, this is a moment. Don't let this moment pass by like Jacob. Hallelujah. Come forward. Praise you, Lord.